Hey, everybody, I'm Caleb, and this is Delta Green Dead Channels, where occasionally you are given a trove of documents to read, where each page is like a flinching knife at your sanity. And we're doing it here with Delta Green Dead Channels' God's Teeth Test. We are in the climactic scenario, the hidden god. We started that last time with part one, and we found Conradin's on-staff plagiarist, Kyle Jarnigan, who then broke up with his real name, and that has unleashed a tsunami of paper trail for Working Group Mastigate to uncover, which is what we're going to start off on. But before we do, let's introduce our wonderful players, anything they might want to plug on the internet, and their characters.
Hi, my name is Jessica Grimes. I am a tabletop role-playing game designer. By the time you are hearing this, you will be able to read at @DHB_games on Twitter about my current dark fantasy dungeon heisting game funded by the UK National Lottery in part. It's super fucking exciting and cool. You should go read about it now. I am playing as Alice Clark, who is in her element. This is research. She's good. She's good. She's definitely good. She's good.
Next.
My name is Kara. You can find me over at The Fandamentals with my podcast Beneath the Screen of the Ultra Critics with Thaddeus, who some of you may know, and Jeremiah, who some of you should know. He is awesome. I am not on Twitter. I am still banned from Elon Musk's Twitter. Me and Alex Jones were in this together. My character is Christian Schleifer. He is one of the worst people I have ever conceived. And as I said before, the best way to encapsulate how awful of a person he is his undergrad degree was in business, and then he got an MBA. My inspiration was from American Psycho. So,
yeah.
And what color are your business cards, Christian?
Eggshell cream.
Nice.
A little off-white color.
Do they have a watermark?
Of course they have a watermark. This is America.
Hello, I'm Claire. I'm one half of the Relatable Roles Actual Play Tabletop RPG podcast, who is a... None of the people here have also played on that as well. It's pretty neat. Come check it out. Me and Max have fun. I am playing Dr. Sarah Smythe again, who, much like Alice Clark, is fully in on this late night studying. She's like bringing her back to grad school, brewing very strong pots of jet fuel coffee, just like pens sticking out of her bun, like ink dried on her face. She is here for it, losing her mind and thrilled.
Speaking of losing their mind,
as in real life, as much as the game. Hi, it's Baz, and I'm playing Jonathan Jack Warner, stand-up citizen, hero of America, just doing the Lord's work out there. As for plugs, if you don't know my annoying ass by now, you're fine. Just
That's Future Wolfington at Twitch TV.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'll do it for you at this point. You can't escape it. And last but not least.
Hey, this is Jason. You'll find me at Role Playing Public Radio and at Grey TTV on Twitch, where I'm currently helping people cope with their new lifestyles of being given 3 pounds of chocolate by Games Workshop while having their heart medication taken away from them. I am playing Master Gunnery Sergeant Jack Travinson, retired, who is currently trying to work out both the boundaries of the purgatory he is in, but also getting a little bit in his own head about what exactly he did to deserve being sent to purgatory.
Hey, you got free hog money, though. So
that,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not every day you win the GoFundMe lottery.
Maybe that will ease his wife's pain of his inevitable death or not. Cause I actually don't think I can in fact die now. Cause I'm in purgatory.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. that's why we play the game. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Caleb, I handed you my character on a silver platter in the penultimate, and you're like, no, I will take Kara instead.
Somebody made their roll. That's what fate decided, buddy. Yeah,
no, we just let the white mage die. That's fine.
You threw yourself onto the sword when you had a red carpet rolled out to walk away. That's all.
I've never heard someone rolled a Chevy Blazer over a rabid bear describe themselves as a white mage. That is an interesting. That's like a Trump level, like, talking point evasion. Very good. Yeah. All right. So anyway, we're going to try something new. I'm calling it role playing your reading right now. So as many people know, God's Teeth is a stretch goal for the Labyrinth Kickstarter. And part of that was including handouts, much like were included in the Labyrinth playset, that can give you the sort of real feel at the table of doing procedural investigation, like you were playing like Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective or something like that. That's okay. Great and works great at the table. Then there was a pandemic. Most people don't have tables anymore. Everything goes online, and now it's just stuff to read. So I was wondering if there was a way that we could do that better in play. And that is what we are testing in this scenario as well. So we will start off with that system right when we get back. Okay, everyone roll the dice. Let's just break it out. Luck roll out of the gate.
85.
Ooh, that's good.
75.
5.
46.
Oh, it should have been 45.
You fucked it, Kara. You fucked it up.
All right, Alice, you're up first. Isaias.
I didn't even roll.
We'll get in there, Baz. I didn't.
Jesus.
Are they loaded in the hopper
in your
yet?
Voice, Baz.
You can't pick my voice out from this group of people at this point. I thought we were friends. These chuckle fucks over here.
Better be higher than 85.
It isn't. It's 65.
You've delayed us for nothing. Anyway, Alice, so you have unlocked a treasure trove of documents at the local library online, from government documents that you and I assume Smythe have been pulling everywhere your int times 5 and bureaucracy skills will allow. And you have had to tell Pizzarelli that you need a place where you can process all of this information. Basically, you need a room where you can discuss this freely without being microphoned or perhaps surveilled. So what is the best Pizzarelli could do on short notice? Where is this scene going to take place? Is it a disused office park, a closed Little Caesars, you know, like is it a hotel room? You know, you get to decide where are we doing this at?
This is in what used to be a floor of a call center. Almost all of the furniture and almost all of the computers, everything useful has been taken out. But Alice's absolute insistence, a decent coffee machine has been supplied.
Oh yes, I love it. It is a full 50 yards away on the side of the room. You are in an empty, cavernous space full of nothing but ether core jacks sticking up from the floor like a crop that withered. And yeah, you can haul whatever furniture you want there. So who do you on the team masticate? Who do you put in charge of refreshments? You know for certain that you are going to be here for a while trying to figure this shit out. Someone needs to go out and get caffeine, you know, food. Who is going to supply you as you do this study session? Which character?
I am going to say that Alice has nagged Warner into doing it as a means of just making sure he hasn't completely broken yet, just getting eyes on him. But a very important note, she orders the coffee, he picks it up. It has to be right.
I'm fine with that. All right, so Jack, take us shopping. Warner is out for the study session. You have to pick up a specific brand of coffee. What else do you get knowing that you're going to have another long stakeout like when you were working with analysts at the CIA?
Well, the liquor store, definitely have quite a lot of alcohol, bourbon. Whatever coffee I was supposed to pick up, I don't. I instead go to a gas station and just fill up. I buy one of those big, like 84-ounce, like trucker fucking coffee things. I buy like five of those and just fill them up and bring them back with me. And some beef jerky, a bunch of Slim Jims, and pretty much all the Slim Jims and candy bars and shit I can find. I'm like, fuck it. Who cares?
Nice. I hope you didn't give him your card, Alice.
She did.
You get phone notifications like 7-Eleven. What? $300 at 7-Eleven? I also filled up my truck. Yeah.
My car. That's why you don't give your debit card to a CIA agent, I guess. You know, in hindsight, that seems apparent. All right, Warner. You've done a lot of this shit. You've debriefed a lot of, you know, you've stared at a lot of relief maps of Kandahar and stuff like that. You're dreading this. Like, you really hate sitting at the PowerPoint version of this kind of talk, even when you have to give it. You're dreading this because who is in charge of office supplies? Who's bringing the post-it notes, the red yarn, the bullet points? Who is going to keep all this shit organized for you? Because
Cassidy should have been here.
Yeah, you pick a character, and who are you dreading to be in charge of this office supply run?
I honestly couldn't give a shit out of all of the group assembled party who goes and does this, but mainly because I think it will annoy them, and I don't like them very much. I think I'm going to send Smythe out to go do that.
Since when do you not like me?
I'm pretty sure our two characters have butted heads a couple, and I'm pretty sure you've, I'm not an idiot. I think he's pretty perceptive to the fact that you have an eye on him, and I'm pretty sure you know he knows you sold him out to Pizzarelli, at least intend to. I also don't appreciate your buddy-buddiness with Pizzarelli. That's the other problem. It's less you and more that relationship that pisses him off.
That's fair. Little did you know, this is my dream assignment, so...
So there. I think that's why he dreads it. Anyway, how are you organizing all this? What office supplies do you haul into this middle of this empty room?
Oh my god, just crates and crates of everything that I got at Office Max. Like, I have color-coded, like, sticky flags for different people that we're going to be talking about. Eli Tillman, the wife, the people who like potentially get, like everyone has their own color scheme. There's different connecting yarns that will be from where we got these pieces of information, like whether it was from something we found on the internet versus an official FBI document versus something in popular culture. Like, we are gonna be organized as fuck.
Nice.
Everything that I have like in sextuplicate because we need colors for everyone.
There is nothing in this room besides the computers and organizational equipment that you like bring into it. And as you're doing so, it becomes very apparent you're probably going to need someplace to sit unless you want to be cross-legged on the floor the whole time. So who do you send to go remedy that problem?
I'm going to say, is Christian there yet? Because I hate him, and I feel like
Christian,
that's the most...
Christian and Travison are all there, yeah.
Yeah, I like Travison too much to do that. so I'm going to send Christian to do that because he deserves the baby menial task since he's babysitting us.
All right, Christian, how do you... What camp stools are, like, fold-out chairs? What do you bring to help out this situation?
Fuck that. I go to Ashley Furniture.
Okay.
I have MBA money, okay?
All right.
Are you trying to buy our cooperation? Because if so, it's working a little bit now.
I drop the big card and get same day delivery, and I come whistling back into the office. I've gotten us delivered an enormous like wooden office table that has like little fold outs like by each desk so you can pull something out and like lift it up if you want. It has cup holders built in. Every chair can recline or it can lean forward. It has like lumbar support. My chair is slightly better than everyone else's. Just a little bit there better than everyone else. It's like a little bit of a different color. It's a little bit more of a fancier material. Mine is leather. The rest of yours is like really nice microfiber with the stain treatment, but I don't need that because I eat like an adult. Also, I get a GoFundMe guy to actually drop us off some guest Starbucks. Everybody gets Starbucks, including Warner. His Starbucks comes only half full, though, so that way he can cut it. Because
yeah, damn those fiber guys. He drank half of it, yeah.
Nope.
All right, Travinson.
Yeah.
You are the guy Christian gets to help move all this shit up the elevator to the floor you have. So express how joyful you are at carrying this heavy-ass mahogany table into a secure government facility where you're not allowed to have delivery guys help you. So you're in the elevator with Christian on the other side of this thing. How do you react? Also, you know, Christian is a mole that has been spying on you and your family for years, thanks to Smythe.
I drank the coffee first before doing this because of my various digestive issues from 20 plus years of combat. So yeah, I am just absolutely gassing this motherfucker out in the elevator. You have no idea how many gas chambers I've been through. Like my nostrils are destroyed. I can't smell anything.
Roll constitution.
But you can.
Are you saying anything? Or are you just dead eyes staring at Schiffler? Like,
I am in fact like an old this is from high school, my goofy ass psychology, because my high school actually had a psychology course that I took junior year. Yeah, I'm actually standing doing the elevator experiment, so I'm actually standing facing in to the elevator, like just dead ass staring over the table at this motherfucker, not directly at him, just over the left ear, you know.
So the table gets there last, but it's hauled in the middle of the room. There's probably a sewer problem. That's why they didn't fill this office space. You catch a whiff of something, but it goes away finally. All right, so the way we're doing this is role play your willpower. So there's associated skill checks for whatever's on the list of documents related to Conrad Den. And you make it. If you succeed, there's no willpower cost. If you fail, there's one willpower cost. And if you fumble, which is doubles outside your skill, it's 1d6 willpower. I have a story of what happened to Conrad Den during the many years between Cornucopia House and July 2020, where we find ourselves. And I wrote that down in the handouts for players to piece together. If that story doesn't come out, I don't care. There's no test. There's no homework. Your job as a character is to explain what your part of this says about what you're investigating to the rest of the team. So you can summarize. You could leave things out. You can connect to things we've done already. If you ask questions, ask as your character would ask. And we'll just move through the briefing quickly that way rather than in the amount of time it took to read the stuff. I had everyone just initial what they were doing. All the stuff in the link of handout is hyperlinked. So if you want to jump to something while somebody's talking to it, your character would have access to and you would have the link. Who wants to go first? Who's the first person to finish their task and wants to present what they found about the Conrad Den files? Now that he is known as Esau Tillman, or Asa Tillman, depending on your pronunciation in the South. Yeah.
I can go, because I blasted myself through that first Eli Tillman memoir out of just, like, watching a train wreck disgust. I'm going to roll my N times 5, because I haven't done that yet, but I passed that.
All right. So Hope comes back to life. Is
Hope
this
come back to life? Yes.
What's the cover look like as you slap
it's
that
like
baby up?
The prayer hands opening with like a dove flying out, and there's like a baby tree like growing in the palms of the outstretched hands.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy, Eli, he wrote like a bunch of these memoirs. This is the first one that's apparently in this series. And it's all about like him dealing with the fallout of his life. Like once his kid got kidnapped back when his name was still Jacob. But apparently what I found out when I was reading this is that like he was like really standing strong by his wife for a while, but then like during some huge press conference he was like, well, if it turns out she did do it, like she's dead to me. And I guess that was like her breaking point, so she just unalived herself immediately afterwards. So this whole book, like the first half, is him like dealing with that, and then it just goes like insane evangelical, like he's angling for like a, you know, fundamentalist Christian TLC TV show at the end and publication of this, where he like has all this faith that he's gonna find his son, but also has like, what if my wife lied and I doubted her, so what if I made her die? And it's this whole thing. And then at the very end of the book they're like, oh, JK, my kid's alive, now I'm gonna go find him, and God helped me direct to this. And it's this whole thing, so it's clearly just like a hook for the next book, because the whole next book is going to be about him actually interacting with his kid. So even though he knew that he was alive and going to get him, like, before the end of the book, like, he left it on a clearly pandering cliffhanger. So it's basically just, like, him going from, I need to find my son, to crazy evangelical Jesus freak, and the rest of them, I'm sure, are just as insane.
All right, who wants to go next?
Clark started with the final book in the series, so I could jump in.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, Clark has very much been reading this book while pacing back and forth, never actually sitting still and reading it. The cover is an oak tree growing from old broken hands with a white feather drifting down. And this was Eli Tillman's final book. It was a goodbye to his son, Jacob, and it fucking sucks. Eli thought very, very highly of his son, at least by this point. Like he described him as having conviction and patriotism and being dedicated to learning. But criticized him for being shy and withdrawn. He talks a lot about his personal growth, and it goes on and on. Apparently Jacob wanted to become a cop, which, I mean, you know. Because, well, apparently he didn't want what happened to him to happen to anyone else is one of the things running through here. Most of the text, it's like he's almost attempting a Socratic thing and it doesn't work. Eli opposes Jacob changing his name to Esau. And most of the book is framed as just a dull, damp recounting. It's of Jacob's arguments to try and convince him. Eventually it works. Eli has a big dramatic moment of, you know, oh, my son is gone. Jacob, Esau starts praising Jesus and the founding fathers. I just, 4 out of 10, would not recommend.
I love the idea of making a radio astronomer read like the last in a series of like Christian homeschool mommy blog public. Oh God, true hell. Worse than any tentacled monster. Yeah. Who wants to go next?
I mean, if we want to complete the set, I can do the second one.
Yeah, go for it.
And I did fail that roll. So that's a D6 if I failed.
Did you fumble it?
No, I didn't fumble it.
Then you just lose one. Yeah.
First one. Okay. So I've started, like, the hair is coming out of my bun a little bit. I'm looking a little bit frazzled.
Before you start, Travis and Christian and Warner, you are watching these two just burn through, like, speed reading paperbacks. How are you reacting to this in your own work?
Shrinking.
Just from the handle, or
yeah, like I'm so over the this like meeting that I'm in that whatever work I had in front of me is being substituted for the bottle.
Are you getting whiskey stains on the documentation? Yeah.
They're not even open, so you can't stain them.
Fair enough.
There is very much a judgmental side eye, because I never read like that in grad school. Like, I don't.
Because you're an idiot.
So there's kind of like a seems weird, but nothing said. Like, I said what I needed to say. My chair is at the head. I put my chair at the head of the table. Who knows if it remained there?
But, Alice has spilled beer on your not stainless chair several times by now. Whoops.
I hope I made the right choice in creating the worst person possible for us to play with. It seemed like fun. I hope y'all are having fun.
Trust me, you absolutely did. Yeah, you absolutely did. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Smythe, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Looking noticeably more frazzled than the last book report I gave. Yeah, sorry if we're giving these out of order, but this one
That's how you would do them, yeah.
I know, that's why I'm telling that to everyone else. Like, sorry they're out of order, but this one was... All of these are written at probably a fifth grade reading level. This one, most of the syntax was completely incomprehensible, so this one took us a little bit more time. As you can see, the cover on this one is the middle arc. The hands are still there, but looking withered. The tree has grown to a stately elm. And there is a nest in the branches of the trees where a father and child bird appear to be living together in the nest.
Sorry, is this an elm or an oak?
Well, it depends on which printing. Yeah,
it depends on the printing.
Okay, so they couldn't keep track of their own goddamn tree.
No, no.
I'm not going to lie. I'm glad that you read that and I didn't.
Yeah, I fell on the sword for you guys. But it's... This seems to be kind of like the trend of how he writes books, or how his ghostwriter helps him write books, where like the first half is completely different to the second half, and the second half is what gets all like preachy and evangelical. Like, that seems to be the trend in all of the books, that there's like some sort of turning point halfway through. Because the first half is basically just like dealing with like Eli's struggles with his son's trauma and his neglect. And how he would like have these insane outbursts if someone spoke to him for too long, and how long like it took for him to like be around language. Basically, this kid was a traumatized mute jerk, but for good reason. But he had a lot of issues with like night terrors, hurting himself, like would stab himself with pencils. So it's like his whole... I'm a dad dealing with this and my wife is dead. Have pity on me. But then, like, he had his son, like, work with all these child psychologists and go through all these treatments. But he never let them last long enough to see if they would actually help in a legitimate mental or academic way. Like, he'd be on, like, a new med for 2 weeks and be like, it's clearly not working. I'm taking him off of it. So it was, like, cycle after cycle after cycle of that. And then the evangelical 180 in this book is when this man with zero formal teaching, and now he likes to say a million times per page, no traditional experience, like the air quotes are heavy, and he like started just doing weird evangelical homeschool shit with him, and he could like start talking around 10 in, you know, a broken sort of sense. But it was this whole thing where it's like, he's such a late in life language acquisition kid that all like the child psychologists wanted to study him or use him as a case study. And Eli was like, absolutely not. This is my child that I have created. I am not a trained psychologist, but I did this with the power of Jesus and no medication. So it kind of just turned again into a complete shitstorm. This guy's basically a Duggar with just one train wrecks.
All right. And by the way, if you want more information about it, you can ask in character. You could also roll based on your skills. So for instance, like if you had psychotherapy, I would give you more, you know, things like that as this goes on. So if you're still processing that, or if you have questions, we could move on to the next one. Who wants to go up? You don't have to do them in order. So Travinson or Warner,
I can walk them. Yeah. I had the middle book in the series, so I guess I'll finish it.
Yeah, get up there.
We did a framed narrative of this experience. So I got his teaching book. It's sounds like most other how-tos when someone doesn't have actual legitimate experience in anything, but actually stumbles and falls into even a modicum of success and impresses people. My experience is more on dickheads thinking they're going to reinvent the central axis relock stance, but you know, just because they watch some cool wire foo movies. But I recognize bullshit when I see it.
Travinson, this is the road show, right?
Yeah.
What's your int? Int times five.
Roll. I failed my check on this one. So
oh, it's fine. I'm asking you to do it again. It's not.
Oh, you want me to do it again?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. 37 under 70. So yeah, I make that.
You're going through. You're talking about like, well, there's this other dumb character, and like, and then you get to the nanny named Clovis.
Uh huh.
And you remember back to that guy in Myanmar who saw the lady get killed by ferrets while you were trying to research similar things. And he had a kid, and they wrote something. It was like something Clovis. And then you find that Saki short story, Sredni Vashtar, again.
Good. Yeah. Good.
All of you can roll humant, everyone in the audience.
What is my humant?
Ought 7 under 39.
Fail.
You watch Travis's brief. It's pretty good. He gets into the ephemera of it because, you know, he doesn't think it has much tactical value. And you see him just wandering through it. And, like, you can literally see him just wander down a path into his brain until he gets to, like, a wall of it. And, like, you can physically see, like, him almost put his hands up against it. Just like, oh, God, no. like, in a disappointed sigh that barely passes over his face before, I assume, you finish your briefing. But
yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on, buddy? You good?
Yeah. No. Just some wandering. Just some weird associations. Not a big deal.
Did you also get the impression that this guy is just a self-righteous piece of shit while reading his books?
I mean,
at first I thought he meant well, but then it got so commercialized and I'm better than everyone so fast in the ones that I'm read. Did that one have it too?
That, I mean, since I didn't read the progression of the narrative, I just wrote this one. All I really saw was someone thinking they knew what they were talking about and not, I mean, there's certainly a lot of politicized religious elements to it, which is not something Travinson appreciates from his own upbringings. You know, he likes his faith nice and centered on a personal journey, not wrapped up in the fucking voting booth. So yeah, that kind of got a lot of eye rolls out of him, and he started skipping chapters because thanks. I so totally couldn't have guessed how you felt about standardized testing and prayer in school in the 21st century, but I'm glad you thought you should tell me about it. Travis did notice the rant on the quality of school lunches, and that kind of caught him up. Then he backed up and reread that chapter a couple of times because that was pretty fucking funny. And that's about the only enjoyment he got out of this whole subject material of listening to a snake oil salesman try and sell him on something that like he wouldn't have bought regardless of who it was selling it. But I'll go ahead and pivot off of that if no one's got any like questions or rules they want to make with Caleb, because Travis also caught the criticism of the road show from Dr. Barbara Cymbeline.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I mean, by Travis's read, this almost felt like the exact opposite. Like this was, this was an academic taking out their personal bias on someone with their intellectual capabilities. Not that he thinks they're intrinsically wrong, that this wasn't an absolute layer of complete and total bullshit of this guy selling his,
you know, road tripping with his child and making him watch pop culture movies. And that taught him how to do everything cognitively, from language to, you know, mathematics and everything else. History. Fuck. That also really pissed Travinson off, teaching history from movies. That really pissed him off. And then you get Dr. Cymbeline, who comes back in and is just, she's just trying to drop, you know, the academic people's elbow on this guy, which didn't seem all that hard to do, but, you know, it didn't seem like there was a, you know, like evidence, you know, Cymbeline is making claims that, that Eli Tillman actually abandoned Jacob throughout his life, to a variety of less than stellar entities for raising while he tried to be a pocket author. Travis did not do his own research to see if this was true or if this was just a hit piece, but yeah. there's quite a bit of that.
Your team can do that.
Yeah.
You could research the places that Cymbeline supposedly that said that they took place, they took care of Jacob instead of the father.
Yeah.
And everyone in the audience can do that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't, whatever we want to call him now, Esau or Jacob, wasn't he buddies with his rich kid college roommate whose dad owned like a bunch of weird stuff like that?
I mean, that would be something.
I'll do some digging on that.
That would be something for you to say, but like.
What was that school that y'all, do I know? Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you're brief.
What was that, the name of that school that you went to with the incident with the van?
Oh, are you talking about Cornucopia House? Or are you talking about,
South Carolina, North Carolina, wherever?
Oh,
it was
King Torino. Yeah.
King Torino. Mm-hmm. Did he end up there at all? Do you talk to that girl there?
Yes, he was likely Conrad Hopko. He was sent back from that location to his father, from the FBI case. Yeah. You do know that Lafferty is a big name in the troubled teen industry, the TTI.
Yeah, that's what I was remembering. We talked to that high guy.
Yes.
Clark yelled that she's working on it.
If you needed a babysitter in every state because you were, I don't know, teaching your son out of the back of an RV, the best and most reliable way to do that would be to have a guy running bespoke child prisons in every location where that's at. Who would like to go next?
Christian's going to go next. Mm-hmm. We're covering the FBI case file. I think that segues well in with the books.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, let's begin with a little bit of a quote. Seems like you grew up a little bit differently than me, but as they say, was Esau not Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated and made his mountains a desolation. All right, so in winter 94...
Oh, no, we got to pause. I have to know how every member of Masticate...
I am rolling my eyes you starting so to hard, it hurts. Like, it is painful to me how much I am rolling my eyes. Like, I have loudly sighed three times through that run-on sentence.
Clark is giggling like she's seeing a camel in the zoo for the first time. Like, this is just... so American it hurts. It's wild.
Y'all don't know your Bible?
How about you, Warner?
I'm just drinking. I'm like,
you're drunk to process.
I'm just like, I drink more after this starts. I'm like, God damn it.
Travinson, speaking of not wanting your religion tangled up with things.
Yeah, he's just kind of just, again, same look as in the elevator. Just.
I have scrawled "get to the good part" on a sheet of paper that I am prepared to hold up during every run-on sentence, while like writing and taking notes in like the other things that I am working on.
All right, Christian. Jeffrey warned you. This is a tough crew, but yeah, okay, keep going.
All right, in winter 94, Jacob Tillman's reported missing. He's with his mother at a Walmart, great place for a child to go missing. And interestingly enough, it seems like she just stands there. So she puts the kid in the car, and then this woman comes up to her, takes the kid, and Tillman's mom just stands there for a while. For how long? Let me check. 30 minutes, it seems like. And yeah, nearly 30 minutes she just stands there and then finally runs panicking into the store to proclaim that he's missing. Nearly 40 minutes later. So within 40 minutes, somebody takes this kid, disappears for years, and mom doesn't report it. So I don't know what's going on with that. Probably something that I don't want to learn more about, but will.
Yeah, if you had to see Babushka and you were only saved by a spry 18-year-old pre-nursing student shotgunning the old woman to death, you might want to roll San. You know why Conradin's mom was standing there with a vacant stare in a Walmart parking lot for 40 minutes. She didn't have a whole lot of choice in it. All right, you're good. Hold it together. Kravitz in your arm hurts, but you don't think about it too much. All right.
It always does.
It always hurts. Who's next?
I have the follow-up of the FBI case. I went through pretty brief here. I did actually succeed by 30% bureaucracy with an .4 on this one.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
So long and short of it is, before Jacob was uncovered, Eli Tillman decided to just stir up a fucking hornet's nest with the FBI, multiple civil lawsuits, negligence, harassment, libel, you know, all the good stuff to try and hit them with, which of course the FBI was able to just dance around it. However, once Jacob Tillman showed up, the case collapsed utterly and completely. Tillman was going to slaughter them in the court of public opinion. So the FBI settled out with, for a few million dollars in order to get him to sign a bunch of NDAs, which probably explains the book series rather than, I don't know, him being, you know, going the other route and being the case of the war against, you know, the government not taking children seriously. I don't know.
Basically the FBI, made the argument that, like, well, we did everything we could. Your wife was a suspect. She then killed herself. The child's likely dead. You know, we did nothing wrong here. And then they found the child alive and well in a state government run foster care that was on fire halfway across the country. And that put a real kibosh on that defense. The reason you could not find him for this long was because he was removed and classified like a JFK secret because the FBI lost a shit ton of money in the settlement. Yeah.
I suppose I'll go through the chat log.
I want painstaking detail of Warner 8 deep in this.
This
stumbling up for his first round.
Look, all right.
Can we say this is the fourth or fifth document we've given him and we just keep giving simpler and simpler ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That fucking guy, Scriblife 420, could not be any less implicated in what's going on here. He is so fucking stupid. He's like, and there's a level of insider information here, having been exposed to all this already. But let me, this fucking Conradin kid, we should have fucking domed him the second we saw him, dude. Like, I didn't have good thoughts about it. He was saying weird shit then. He's saying weird shit in this. I haven't even gotten to the speech-to-text program shit he sent email to him later on. I'll read that in a second. This motherfucker. God damn.
Noted.
So, while Warner is doing this, and I'm going to reflect this in the change in the initials on the chart, I'm going to take the baby's missing in action sheet that is kind of in Warner's general area, and I'm going to slide him the Scriblife 420 file to whom it may concern, just because I think that's more where he's at.
Fair enough.
He picks that shit up like he didn't even notice. He's like, yeah, and this one, I don't even.
Yeah, go into reading that one. I have just slid you to whom it may concern. Read that one. It's document number 11.
Didn't notice. Just assumes it's always been there. That was the next one. He'd already read it. Sure, totally.
Man, I love this. I love that you have like the Marine guy and a CIA operative, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't read the briefs."
Too much reading.
It's got full Archer, just like, "Oh no, I'll figure it out on the way." Yeah. All right, who's next?
I can go.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I lost one will point on this one. It's the Miller cells. So, this is very much just Clark hunched over, reading various incomplete PDFs that she's managed to assemble into a copy of The Illegal Agenda to begin with. So this is a book about the Trump like immigration crackdown, and I gotta say, didn't learn a lot of the details, you know, overseas. This is a lot. I've had to learn a lot of names, a lot of really bad names. So, cool. Basically, the idea is that Stephen Miller, I'm going to assume that that's a name you're going to know, that these genuinely horrendous policies are largely the result of his influence. He's been working, even before Trump took office, to assemble like small off-the-books teams. Let's not reflect on that too much, but like real shady, lots of big three-letter agencies that I recognized half of them, you know, ICE, DOJ, other ones. And it seems like a bulk of the work they were doing was just sowing mid-ranking bureaucrats, just keeping things hazy, keeping the air thick. And like it's deep rot. I did a couple of follow-up searches. I found that Ari Sao was meeting someone named Chasen Loherty, or Loherty, at a, oh, here was a new one I had to learn, a Richard Spencer event. We're having a good time. Good. Yeah. So Chasen's father, Kyle, is a big name working on ICE contracts, which, well, so there's 121 listed facilities on the ICE website, but the federal budget is listed as funding 201. That's 80 unlisted facilities, completely classified from the public, at least. And you know, I can't find names of agents, private contractors working on this. Basically, this kid, Esau, Jacob, whoever, has stumbled into access to just a network of completely off the books holding facilities funded and protected by America, the DHS. It's all blurring together at this point with the fucking acronyms.
All of you US citizens, you don't need to make a sand roll for that. Yeah. He's tied in with multiple guys you see on the news every single day, which tends to not be great for your illegal paragovernmental conspiracy. Yeah. So who wants to go next?
No.
I can do the baby's missing in action one because
that
aligns in a way. So I
I need to go after that one.
I passed my N times five roll, but I feel like I do need to make a sanity roll after reading this one.
I'm fine with that.
Just like on my own reconnaissance.
Yep, I did. That's pass the best sand roll.
Did pass it.
Well, 53. Smythe is hard nosed. If
we've learned, you are more. Smythe is not looking too great after reading this one. Like after the first two books, like very up, very animated, just like wanting to throw this dude under the bus. This one, you are seeing a very subdued and almost nauseous looking Smythe. Okay, so this is probably the most damning and fucked up one that I've read so far. So buckle in, everybody. So this is a report that came out from a reporter in El Paso. It's, you know, opens up talking about how all the kids that were separated from their parents through ice. Like, there's never been sufficient evidence that all of the kids have been reunited in with their parents. But where it really starts to reflect what we're researching, and the part that is not looking good for anyone, is that an Agent Tillman appears in this piece, and we know he was forged some documents and helped got help writing with his applications to work for ICE. Apparently he has a bit of a reputation in the El Paso area as El Niñero, because he has been more or less legally kidnapping children who are immediately born and then arresting their mothers after the birth. There are hundreds of kids separated from their parents as a result of Agent Tillman here. But where I'm starting to get a little sick to my stomach is that ICE, as we know, contracted with the Lafferty Youth Facility Force for construction of an El Paso detention facility after Trump got elected. So I think it's pretty safe to say that Esau Tillman is kidnapping babies and building a new cornucopia house in El Paso. That there doesn't seem to be another conclusion that can be drawn from kidnapping infants who have not yet discovered language and putting them in a childhood detention center with legally no requirement to ever return them to their parents.
I should have let Warner kill that goddamn kid.
He just goes, cheers!
Do I know that they were... So I know that they were at Cornucopia House. How? Sorry, just to keep the division. Do I know, like, the shit sandwich that was at the initial Cornucopia House?
No, Pizzarelli says that they're weird and they might have unnatural powers, and you need to figure out if they do. You don't know actually what went down, except what they told Pizzarelli, which was, I don't know, it got bad, man, and then we set it on fire. Like, yeah, so.
There is an enormously, like, pregnant pause every time they casually mention that we should have, in fact, murdered the child. Not in a, oh my god, I can't believe they'd kill a child way, but in just, like, a noted fashion. If anyone notices, it's just a flicker, but...
And if you've ever done research on this in your off time or vignettes, you can make an unnatural or an occult roll at 40%. So plus 40% of whatever your current skill is to get more information.
My unnatural is 10.
You've never done research, but you can roll at 10, yeah.
Yeah. Never done research, but let's see. Yeah,
but the rest of the crew can do that, having learned the
triple zero, Caleb.
Where are we rolling?
All right, we'll get to Travis next.
Critical success. Oh, special success. Doubles.
Okay.
What are we rolling for again?
You could, if you've done research into what is going on with you in a cult or the unnatural, you can roll it with a plus 40%.
Okay.
Yeah. I passed with an aught 6.
I got an 11 under 13.
What is your weighted dice, Claire? You
were so many zeros. I don't know. I did fail the willpower already, so.
You say plus 40?
Yeah.
Plus 40.
I got an aught 9 out of 59.
Damn.
Okay, if you succeed, and if you critically succeed, you lose one.
Okay.
I'll get to you, Travison.
That's sand. Yeah, we're losing.
There's yeah, a yeah, power. Yeah. Okay. So if you regularly succeed, you remember the kids 4 years ago at the orphanage in Florida, and you recall that pain is the beacon for the hungry mother. And that the quiet children are the only ones that can truly hear the truth of the universe. And he is not taking kids going across the border. That is something that the organization does already. He is taking kids the second they are born. He wants them before they are corrupted by language. If you critically succeed, you realize, well, how does he know he wants that? How does he know that's a thing? That indicates that he can talk. It's not great. He needs help, but like, he has language. How does he communicate with this thing and know what he wants? And then you recall the kids talking about the coming of the speaker. The speaker has arrived to bring Shredney Vashchar forth. Yeah, this is all sounding eerily familiar to that street religion you found a few years ago.
Christian's just as happy as a pig as shit, doesn't know a goddamn thing.
I mean, you can roll human to see everyone lose a sand at once.
Honestly, yeah, I will, if that's okay.
Yeah, just to see if you notice. I kind of love if you don't. Like, this is good. Hey, good beef jerky, Warner. Yeah.
Let's see. My human is 60. I rolled 68. I am a shining beacon of obliviousness. Maybe I've gotten a little bit into some of Warner's liquor.
I love it. Great.
Yeah, they picked well with me. I am going next again for the Esau Tillman background check.
Yep.
Are we dealing with Travison's failure?
No, I didn't fail.
Yeah. Oh, no,
I just got one too, and like Alice and Travis said, you both look at each other like you could even mouth each other's speaker. Yeah. All right, you're up there, Christian.
So jumping off of what he said, just to confirm, when our boy went to work at ICE, he didn't have a background check. In reality, they checked for a criminal record, they checked for bankruptcies, they left it at that. They didn't see if he had any family. They had two interviews with friends. Anyone want to guess the names? I'll give you a clue. It starts with L.
His roommate. Lafferty kid.
And his daddy. He is a hard worker, honest, and, word of the day, patriotic. Look, either this kid... Well, I'm not going to be honest with you. ICE never looks that hard. But they look hard enough to cover their own ass. And they didn't do that this time. So either it was the luckiest slip, or somebody did it on purpose.
I would also allow bureaucracy rolls or law if you want additional.
Yeah, okay. I have 60 law. I rolled an 86. I quietly tear up the paper and eat it for some unknown reason, apparently. no, that's not true. So I got nothing. If anybody else has law,
I rolled a 23 under 40 on bureaucracy.
The first news story you find of a Lafferty Youth Facilities Force, or Life Force, as they are called, running an ICE facility dates back to the Obama administration in 2014. So they are tied up to both parties. The Lafferty is in the pockets with Democrats and Republicans. This isn't a presidential thing. Like
he's across the aisle, piece of shit.
Yeah. So Lafferty was pulling favors in 2014. He is still pulling favors, but now Conradin is a agent in good standing with Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
So we've all read everything, right? Didn't he say something about Daddy Lafferty, about him being in on it, part of something?
Yeah, I mean, Daddy Lafferty ran the child jails that were stopped on the road trip.
No, our Bible boy said something about him somewhere in some chat, right? You're the smart ones. You're the one that read all this shit. Where was
you,
it?
To whom it may concern.
Yeah, Warner's got all the chat logs.
I've not got to that one yet.
We'll come back to it then. And I'm just going to jump off the same one. Esau Tillman in 2016, he filed an income tax return regarding his residence in El Paso. First year, he names his employer as ICE, which makes sense. He applies in 2015, files tax returns in 2016. He looks like he's in detention management coordination. He has dual jobs, immigration officer, and facilities contracts, place of employment. So it says DC. wastewater reclamation plant in El Paso, steady employment. And it looks like he's got a 1099 from Moore Lafferty's in El Paso. So our boy's in El Paso. He's playing around in the government. He's got his hands in a lot of different things.
Again, additional bureaucracy and law would give you more information on that.
Oh, 13 for bureaucracy. 13 under 60.
At 25, which is a pass for both law and bureaucracy for me.
Yeah, so El Paso in 2017 is the royal rollout of the child separation policy. It is where it begins and is initially play tested, not adequately at all, so to speak, before its full implementation in 2018, United States. But his address is listed as the Frank Harvey Water Reclamation Plant. El Paso has a gigantic ice facility, but he is not getting his paychecks there. That means that he is not at a site. He is at a black site. It is off the books. It is not registered. ICE does not declare it. It is not listed in any registry or any phone book. And it is likely within the water reclamation plant. So not only doing all this, he has total complete impunity. There is no Democratic member of the squad who is about to go cut agitprop by touring his facility and taking pictures of shit. It is a box that once you go in, he has complete control.
All right, guys, I just got to ask, like, do they fucking the kids? Are they eating the kids? Like, what do they do with them? They were all alive, right? Given your comments, what do they do?
When Christian says that, all of you remember the folder in painstaking 4K panoramic detail. How do you answer that question? I just want to remember.
I stone face sober up and I recount everything I saw in that fucking book. Word for word in as much graphic detail as possible.
So roll Sam?
Yeah, definitely Christian. Yeah.
82 over whoop. My sand is actually 84.
Holy shit. Damn. Got that pow for days. All right. Yeah.
I don't believe in God. I believe in myself. I don't take a stand, but Christian is shaken. And not just by the description, but by the fact of all people, Warner led with sobriety. And he does take, one of the bottles that Warner isn't completely fished off yet and, like, drinks it a little too long.
Yeah, Warner, you woke up. You might as well do your next one, yeah?
One second, looking for it. Oh, the email thing for Describe Life 420 is the one that's really interesting, that leads back into the whole chat log. And that pretty much just cements it. This kid's fucking making an army, y'all. Like, remember those friends of his that, you know, were going around stabbing people? Yeah, he's programming a whole fucking new generation of those. They're going to be everywhere.
Cool.
Great.
And Scribe Life 420, this dude, like I said, forget about that guy. And no importance whatsoever. This shit's insane. And it's going to get really bad, and we're going to have to kill a lot of things, I think.
All right.
I mean, at least he reached out to the FBI when he did. I guess this could have gotten a lot worse.
Yeah. I don't know how long Conrad has been. I don't know how old some of these kids may be, but I mean, we're going to have to do some awful, deplorable shit here in the near future.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he started kidnapping kids in 2017, there were, you know, a couple hundred newborns. Got a small army of 3-year-olds now.
But you've rescued kids older than 3 that were fine. Like,
yeah.
Nika Chilikov is a fantastic contributor to society who overcame a lot of things. Yeah.
Is she fine, though? Like, functional and fine.
She's pretty... We had a hug and we talked about it. We're good.
Christian, that's certainly the question Delta Green is asking, and which is why you're on the case. That is a question that Delta Green is asking every day, yeah.
There is a piece of paper that, like, I've been taking notes on to the side of everything else, only when they're speaking, not when I'm reading anything. Uh-huh. And I write something down and underline it.
How long?
I wrote this to see if I saw that.
No. Okay. You don't trust anything that little bastard's writing down. It wouldn't be any different than anything else. Yeah. What were you saying? Yeah.
I was going to ask, what kind of time span are we looking at for this research session? Just so I can, like, find the next one.
Oh, it's been hours. You've been up here for the most of the day. The sun went down. Like, you're reading entire books. You're hanging things up and organizing stuff. Yeah.
I'm happy to go next, but this is going to be, like, a good 8 hours after Alice's initial 2 quite quick presentations. She has been, like, hoarding as many devices as people will let her have, with different, like, Wikipedia tabs open, big Wikipedia rabbit hole going on. She has slowly been increasing her rate of drinking and consuming beef jerky, and her hair is very, very messy. This is the Jacob Tillman name change, where I have lost an awful lot of willpower.
Nice.
7, to be specific. Okay, listen, What is a social security number actually for? What does it do? Because it's not ID, and it's not a secret?
It is a bit of a secret. A social security number is your internet, is your marker, right? So with your social security number, it was literally created so that way we could have the only form of social welfare that this country will ever have, I swear to God. And that is for social security payments when you're old or if you're disabled. It's also attached to your credits. In order to have a credit score, you need to have a social security number. Essentially, you can't exist without one. I mean that literally. Nothing.
Cool. Well,
you can't go to a hospital. You can't enroll in a school. If you don't have one, you are an unperson in this country. They are supposed to be kept secret. They rarely are. You're not supposed to carry them with you. Everybody does. But you can't get a credit card. You can't get a house. You can't buy a large purchase. You can't have a bank account. And you can't go to college. And you can't do anything involving any sort of government or services. It is everything and nothing.
Continuing along that rhyme and that rhythm and that reason, I am in a bureaucratic hellscape. As far as I can tell, Jacob, he's 17, it's 2011, he's going to uni, he's going to college, I want to say Duke, and he's gone. It seems like it's rubber stamp, clear and quick, everything is fine. This was in, I want to say, Tucson, Arizona. I thought Arizona was a country in Eastern Europe. I've been having a time here.
No, so you're thinking of Georgia.
I'm not sure I'm thinking at this point. But yeah, authorities notified. But as far as I can tell, the trail here just completely cuts. Like, it doesn't look like anyone has ever had reason to look before this kid enrolled in university as Esau. There's a complete severing of the identities. Everything they have for him, they have nothing on Jacob. They just have this new person. Jacob's just gone.
Yeah, bureaucracy and law will get you more. Yeah, if you want.
Shh, I'll roll it, but that is a fail.
Yeah, everyone who hears that can roll it, yeah.
God damn it, it's 80. Also, Christian, not politely, a little bit smugly after his helpful scoop releases, it's Tucson.
Oh God, that's going to make you even more popular.
22 under 40. Don't yell at me, McGinty. I have good dice today.
I'll lose a sand, Smythe.
That's fair.
You can't help but think of the ribbons of paper in the basement. Just a bureaucratic perfect symmetry, like when a beat is exactly where it's supposed to be in a song. Gets kidnapped, put under a different name in the kidnapping, entered into a system with a different name, DNA identified as his old name, after his old name is declared dead based on the FBI case. Gets a new social security number, then right before reaching the age of majority, changes his name a third time under the new social security number. It's like the system just closed in around him. It was just a perfect bureaucratic obfuscation, and all of it, the only event that could connect you, was hidden by the FBI trying to play cover its own ass. It's kind of perfect, and it's like coincidence and symmetry and like just sort of like the world bleeds around him. He cuts through it like a knife, and it just makes room for him wherever he goes. Yeah
man, this kid Christian, again, oblivious, unaware, is like, you know, I can't tell if this is the luckiest or unluckiest kid in the world. Like, this is the goddamnedest thing. I've never seen, you know, any coincidences like this before. Have any of you? Like, it's a rhetorical question. It's not even a real question.
I'm mid, like, mental breakdown, just not responding. I'm 1,000 yards staring off into the distance.
I just casually go over and go, cheers!
We're doing science.
That's all of them, I believe. Yeah, I assume you're inviting Pizzarelli because he gave you this room and wants to know what the fuck's going on, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So you're going to brief him on all that. I assume I won't make you go over it again.
Yeah, biggest thing being the potential building of a new cornucopia house, I'd say.
I mean, how many kids were at Cornucopia?
Not 600.
Yeah, I don't think a Cornucopia house would be correct. More like a Cornucopia plantation, I think, is what we're looking down the barrel of.
So you explain it all to him. He listens very carefully and silently. You know, he only made one comment about it smelling a frat house when he came up there. What are you recommending you guys do? Yeah.
Go straight.
We have to go to El Paso. We have to find... Well, we have to find Esau and probably beat the shit out of him in Lafferty. We have to find the black site. That's the biggest thing. Look, I don't know what we're going to do with 603-year-olds that don't know how to use a toilet. We're gonna have to do something, because if that number keeps growing at this rate, we're gonna have a much bigger problem.
All right, let me go run this up the chain real quick.
Let's say it's a black site. How could we find? That's literally what we do. How can we not find? Yeah. That's gonna be
easy. We should probably also keep in mind that if Tillman is anything else like his former roommates, he already knows we're coming.
Like I said, let me go run it up the chain. So he goes walking.
While you're things up the chain, we're going to need a budget.
Christian does make, like, a surprisingly for him, sincere effort to, like, catch Pizzarelli and just look and be like, if Cornucopia was a fuckery at, like, what, 120 kids? Multiply that by 6 and involve ICE. I don't care how far you have to push it or what we do, but we can't let it ride because it's going to blow up in everyone's face.
Yeah, all of you see Christian whispering over with Pizzarelli. You know, Pizzarelli looks over at Christian. He's whispering as well. Christian, you hear him say, Agent, I appreciate that, but you need to focus on the mission. And he makes a very telling look back at Masticate. Do you understand?
You need to focus
on your missioning. Yeah.
Christian does, like, the double-handed you got me. Goes back, sits down. Writes something on his notepad, looks up, crosses it off.
Yeah, so Pizzarelli goes walking off. He's talking on his phone. Smythe, you can roll Humint.
What was my Humint? 39. Oh, I failed. I got 41 over 39.
Yeah, you can't read him. He's wandering around. It's been a while since college. All right, he comes back. He's like, okay, this is good intel. We're a little too close to this. The target knows you. So that limits your capabilities in gathering further intelligence on what's going on. So I'm going to move this to another team, and we're going to, you know, revisit a plan of action after, you know, we take a cycle and really try and understand what's going on. And then we will meet this back up on the other side of the election.
Excuse me?
Yeah, we're going to have to postpone this one.
How long is that? Just out of character?
2 years.
It'll take a couple months to get sorted. So probably, you know, after the inauguration, a month or two. We can't brief the president, of course. We're against that.
I need one of you in this room with me right now to give me one reason why I shouldn't blast this fucking fucker's brains across the wall.
He's building
right now.
An army.
God damn it. I understand it's bad, but what do you want me to do?
I'd have fucking gut you, Pizzarelli, you piece of shit.
Look, it's
a, just to see if you have anything in there.
It is a government institution. They're part of this. They're part of the structure of what you do. What did you think you did for a living? They give us the money to do this shit. They buy your plane tickets. They buy your fucking saws. He just like angrily points at Travidson. You're not going out there with a fucking pocket knife and your teeth like the old days. We're a fucking organization. Like, you watch the news. You watch the news right fucking now. Tell me you want to tell that man about what we do for a living. Tell me that's a good idea.
Well, that guy over there is stupid enough where if we bomb it and blame it on his tweets, he'll believe it.
Who do you think they're going to blame it on? Do you think it helps the program if every fucking street in every fucking city's on fire with diabetic chuds firing full auto weapons on their fucking rascal scooters? We cannot do this. We are here to protect lives and protect American life. We cannot possibly risk this blowing up in our face. You are not approved for action. I need you to understand that before I leave here today.
Listen to me. Understand this. The kid is a conduit to something much bigger. I don't know what he's doing, but he is something new. He appears to be gaining influence, and influence being pumped into him. He has some kind of connection, and if we let that go on for another 2 years unsevered, then you are going to have a whole lot more blood on your hands than these 600 kids.
He's been doing it for 3 years. The best strategy is to wait and see and get a better opportunity.
Do you need me to teach you basic mathematics of fucking exponentials?
You're not approved for action. We're not buying your plane tickets. We're not covering for you. You're not giving an official action to go down there or do anything. You are forbidden from acting on this.
Understood.
That's the best I can do. All of you roll sand.
Fail. Oh, this is a good time to fail sand check.
On five, I'm good.
66 over 18.
Fuck's sake. Wait, are you adapted to helplessness?
Fuck no.
All right.
Yeah, this is definitely this water gets shit done.
Anybody else fail?
I failed.
I passed.
That was for helplessness for our adaptation checkbox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
All right. If you just regular fail... They say living as an American is a 1d6.
Shit.
I'm being generous there, yeah. You lose 2. Except for Warner, you lose 6. Pick your poison, Warner. That's a temporary.
Oh, it's fight.
Are you going at Pizzarelli? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is anyone stopping him?
Alice is getting in between Christian and Warner, just in case. Like, eyes on Christian's hands.
Yeah, it is really up in the air as to who Warder goes after.
Smythe is just sitting at the desk, like, overwhelmed with hopelessness, staring into nothing. So, like, she is enveloped by the void and is not even comprehending anything else that's happening in the room.
Travis, it'll catch.
Christian will go for Warner, too, to protect Pizzarelli. He knows which side his bread is buttered on.
Whoever's touching me first is getting an attack roll against them, and it's
Travidson. Yeah.
It is unfortunately the stiletto knife that I carry.
Of course it is.
You can roll dodge, Travinson, yeah.
Sure. Well, that's an 11, so hope you hit good, Baz.
Mine's a 55 out of 60.
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Well, that'll be four. It's max damage. I'll say that brings you back to your senses, Warder, as you are trying to stab Pizzarelli to death and put it through. Travinson, where does he hit you?
Right in the bad arm.
The bad, yeah. Yep.
So all of you just see Travinson with a knife sticking out of his arm now. Warner, you can come to your senses, having stabbed your friend. Yeah.
That's your fault, Pizzarelli. You did that. Jack, I'm sorry.
Nobody leave the country. Everyone go home. Thank you. Did good work here. I'll send somebody to clean this up. And he goes, you know, click, clicking away on the floor, gets on the elevator. There's just the five of you there with some blood spattered paperwork and red yarn. And Travis has a knife sticking out of his arm.
So, Christian, are you in?
Christian sits down. He's tapping his pen. He's thinking. And finally, after a minute, he's like, 60 kids before. What? 6,200? Found them. They'd killed how many people before you stopped them that we know of? 10? 5?
I've run the numbers. They're not good numbers.
You said that you knew this kid, that you met him at the house and he wasn't right. You didn't say that, but it's obvious. How old was he then?
5, 6, maybe.
He was 7, according to records. Yeah.
Also, can we just... Travis, I'm going to call you a fucking ambulance. I'm sorry, man.
I'm dealing with it with my tourniquet. I care. I'm like, don't do that. Like,
Jack's like, Christian's like, don't pull it out. You know, not to pull it out, right?
It was a knife accident, you know? He fell on it.
Yeah. I'll get him to the hospital. But Christian's like, any of you have kids?
I do.
Have you seen a kid die?
In passing, I have a kid. Have I seen a kid die?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, numerous times.
Have you seen 300 of them die? Have you ever buried 300 bodies?
Well, okay, so that's an important conversation. You're talking about doing it. Christian is asking, to what degree are we doing it? Are we trying to save some people like Nika, or are we going whole hog?
Christian wants to know if they have the balls to do what they say can be done, because he's not going into a half-ass.
Hey.
He needs to know what they're asking him if he's in to do, because if they're asking him if he's in to burn down a building full of children, he needs to make sure they're not going to wuss out.
Christian, I'm sure you've read my file to some great extent that Pizzarelli has given you.
And I just also want to be clear, none of you have to be the bad guys here. That's not the force. This has been in operation for 3 years. Cornucopia opened in 1928. There's a chance to save some people here. But what Pizzarelli has made very clear is that if you do that, it will not be with the help of the United States government in any way, shape, or form. You will be on your own. It's in a little ways, it's a lot similar to the first time you guys all met.
Except
this time.
You know you're doing it.
But also, Travinson rolled a 22 on that criminology check for requisitions and such nuts. So I still got that annotated, Caleb.
That's fine. I have that noted as well. The other thing I note is that you also have a veteran who has done this kind of thing before outside of the group. With his Jonathan Jack Warner, who started off as a cowboy. and he also has his only bond other than his son is also another cowboy.
Former cowboy agent.
Warner could probably tell you that if you were to bring this up to an old OAA cell, this building would already be a smoking crater in the ground. This is the difference between the official program and the assholes who just keep storage units full of guns and decide what needs to be done themselves.
Let me make a call real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I call Timothy Thompson.
Yeah, it's going to wait a while because you have burners and
had to call through some intermediaries and such. But yeah,
he will get back to you soon. Yeah, but you're still going to hash out what line are we going to here. Yeah.
I don't. These kids are still young. They're not at the point of no return. We need to kill Tillman.
Okay, we done. Need
to get the kids out.
Didn't they say
they don't all need to die?
I hope so, but we need to absolutely commit to whatever it is we have to do. If we have to kill kids, we have to kill kids, whatever it takes. If we have to be broken by this, if we have to sell our fucking souls, whatever it takes.
You already did that.
No more than it takes. Signed up. Whatever it takes.
Christian has gone like a little bit blank. Like he's clearly thinking and calculating a variety of things. His uppermost thought is the mission is to watch them. If they're going to go, he has to watch them. If it's to know what they're talking to, he has to know because they're clearly involved and talking to something. If they're going to go, he needs to watch, and therefore he will go, and he will make sure, if necessary, they live through it, or if more necessary, they won't.
Yeah, welcome to an undercover operation. Like, how far do I want to let this horrifically illegal thing go to do my job? Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And he's also reflected and decided, Pizzarelli, when it's over, Pizzarelli will get a full report of everything. They said, they did, they thought, they hinted, they suggested. None of this is on his face. He just went blank in thinking.
You're not that subtle.
He's not that subtle. He's because he's fucking sociopath. But he is in.
All right. Yeah, that's what I want to hear before we end this scene. Everyone say, like, because you're going to have to say it.
He's like, in. He says, I'm in.
Yeah.
When you say it, there's the ritual offering of a cigarette as Alice lights up. You're part of the real team now.
Who's next? Warner, I assume you're in.
No, I was going to take the time. You know what? We should probably just sit back and cool our heels for a second.
But Travis still has a knife in his arm.
Just let cooler heads prevail on this one, y'all. Maybe it's right. Maybe we should wait for the election cycle to end.
He's got like little blood splatters all over his face. Sits down. Maybe we should wait for the election cycle.
Travis, and how about you? You did make that 22.
I'm good to go. Let's finish this. He's just, again, just the part of it. It's like, I don't know. I don't really think there is another side, but let's go see if we can find the end of this fucking tunnel.
All right. And last but not least, Smythe.
Smythe is aggressively smoking a cigarette from Alice. Not pleased to be going along with this, to be completely honest, and is ashing directly on the table. If any of you motherfuckers kill a kid before we find out if we have to, you're dead. And then I just like ash it on the middle of one of Papa Tillman's stupid books.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break there. When we get back, it's go forth again. You got a target. The adults need to die. You get to decide from there. And we'll be back after that. Hey, everybody. Caleb here. Thanks for listening to us playtest those handouts included in the God's Teeth campaign. I hope I came up with a mechanic that is fun to roleplay with your group and fun to listen to. I certainly enjoyed it when we did our playthrough. Now that part, the handouts of Condra Dyn's Pass, has been moved a little bit in the book forward from the scenario you're originally listening to it in, but it is going to be largely included in the text, last I heard, as you heard it here, at least interpreted through the voices of our characters. Next week, the group has to come up with an actual plan to go under their boss's noses and stop the thing that infected them all those years ago. We hope you enjoy that episode as well and look forward to it. Until then, thank you for being a supporter of Dead Channels and listening to us playtest this book I wrote. Can't wait to hear your comments. So Have a good one and stay safe out there.